Classics music from 1 a.m. BBC Introducing with Tom Robinson. Right now, Don Letts.
You like music?
Yes.
Why don't you put a record on? Mozart.
Mozart? Leave it out. This is Big Audio Dynamite.
Ready on the left, ready on the right. This is Culture Clash Radio with the story of Big Audio Dynamite. Now, the Don's been given the all clear to tell the tale of BAD, and I'm not trying to sell you anything, just paint another picture of music in the 1980s. Yes, there was big hair and big shoulder pads, but there was also Big Audio Dynamite. Although I'm obliged to remind you, other bands were available. Formed in 1983 after Mick Jones was ousted from the Clash, early incarnations included ex-Clash drummer Topper Heaton and Leo Ezekiel Williams on bass, and went by the name of Track and then Real Westway. But Tops wasn't around for long. I remember being in a club with Leo one night with Mick stood in the middle when he said we looked like a group and asked me to join there and then. I felt somewhat obliged to point out I couldn't play anything, to which he replied neither could Paul Simonon when he joined the Clash. I was in. Mick found our drummer, Greg Roberts, through the traditional route of advertising in the NME. As for Dan Donovan, well, he initially came to take the picture for our debut album cover and mentioned he could play keyboards. Mick mentioned there was a space for him in the picture. Our sound was a combination of what we were into, New York beats, Jamaican bass lines, English rock and roll guitar, combined with samples, movie dialogue and various elements of the media to create a fuller, more cinematic sound. And in October 1985, we released our debut album. This is Big Audio Dynamite.
Three carpenters.
Discovered that it's
consumer tests all home. Days of heaven, nights of sin. Voodoo stick and sharp spin. When all around you seems like hell, just one sip will make you well. All home, multi-purpose in a jar. If you ain't ill, it'll fix your car. In days of yore, for all bad feelings, washing socks and stripping ceilings. Nowadays it's used medicinally for all non-human malady. Oh, was really vile weather when we got tarred and feathered. You could hear the six gun sound as they chased us out of.
Medicine Show, the lead track from our first album. A kind of statement of intent using an old Western medicine show as a metaphor. You know the sort of thing. Dodgy bunch of cowboys professing a cure for any and all ailments, when really it was a cure for nothing. While we were recording the album, as the only non-musician, I found myself watching endless movies, with the idea of using bits of dialogue to enhance bad sound. In that track, we sampled A Fistful of Dollars, The Treasure of Sierra Madre, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. We only stole from the best. Incidentally, it was on the Medicine Show video shoot that Mick would finally bury the hatchet between himself, Joe Strummer and Paul Simonon, as they both appeared as cops in the video. Anyways, the extensive use of samples and dialogue really set us apart. Well, that and a heavy rhythm section courtesy of Greg Roberts and Leo Easykill Williams. This is Bad.
Go ahead, London.
Bye. so the Empire Road to get gratified.
Wanted to use the acronym BAD for whatever reason, and I remember Before Alien Domination being laughed out the room, and the look on Mick and Dan and Greg's face when me and Leo suggested Black and Deadly. Anyways, we eventually arrived at the backronym Big Audio Dynamite. The album was recorded at Basing Street Studios in West London, and we dug the fact that Bob Marley had recorded there. At the controls was studio engineer Paul Groucho Smichael. He'd previously worked with the likes of Lynton Kwesi Johnson and Black Uhuru. Now, all this was well and good, but there was one crucial unanswered question. Could we take it to the stage? Not a stripped-down version, but the whole caboodle. You got to remember, this is pre-computer tech and the rest. We were still analogue. Anyways, in November 1984, we embarked on a tour of the UK. A steep learning curve for the Don, but with my shades, some coloured stickers on my keyboard to show me what to do, I managed to justify my space.
I feel
why you act like we ain't got any. Tarzan has come home again, heard the news, Diamond Bane had to split, no room to swing. Some city wanted him to sing. Easy to see, no unity, masses ruled by minority. When these guys come on the scene, ruin the good blues party. I know I heard the tune before. I thought as I was kicked through the door, something about admission fee. But I was sure house belonged to me. They told us to go in stereo. Machine guns against fear and
Culture Clash Radio Big Audio Dynamite Special with me, Don Letts, on BBC Six Music. That was a party, an alternative view on apartheid, a huge issue back in the day. Now, although the use of samples became a feature of the band, Mick always made sure the songs stood on their own. In other words, if you took the samples away, you'd still have a song. And during the writing of the album, and with Mick's guidance, I thrown myself into writing lyrics. After all, there's only so many movies you can watch. And I approached this in the same way as I'd approach writing a film script or a treatment. And this, combined with Mick's widescreen vision for the band, gave the songs a kind of cinematic dimension.
Music. You look funny when you're 50.
across international dateline, scientists eat bubblegum, Hall of Fame baseball, senators a hoodlum, big chiefs in a hall.
MC Squared, a homage to the film director Nick Rogue, in which we sampled Performance, Walkabout, The Man Who Fell to Earth, Eureka, and Bad Timing. That, combined with a keyboard hook courtesy of Dan Donovan, would contribute to what was our biggest chart hit, and a performance on Top of the Pops would let fans know that Mick was definitely stepping out of the Clash shadow.
People dance on the square, the old time groove. the horses are on the track.
The first time tracing the fascinating stories behind the music.
We speak to some of the most influential musicians around about their pivotal first moments.
That whole time of spending time in England really influenced a lot of the sound and the stuff that I was doing.
Go online now to download highlights of Matt in conversation with Mark Ronson. And join him this weekend as he welcomes E from Eels.
One day I was flipping the radio dial around, just buzzing around, all of a sudden I heard that song on the radio and I just called my girlfriend and said, "Oh my God, I'm on the radio." And then you put the phone up to the radio so to prove it.
The first time, Sunday from midday and online now at the Six Music website.
Sit tight and listen keenly while I play for you another brand new musical biscuit.
I hope you realize you're playing a diamond.
This time I bet you it's bad.
Oh,
Featuring the voice of Ramel Z, who sadly passed away earlier this year. That was Come On Every Beatbox from our second album, Number 10 Upping Street, released in 1986 and recorded in New York City. The title was a twist on Number 10 Downing Street. I always thought the title sucked, but hey, I was one of many. This album would not only see Mick Jones and Joe Strummer reunite creatively for the first time since the demise of The Clash, it would also feature the last Strummer and Jones compositions.
Come in, London. Come in, London Control.
Stagecoach Hospital and Sea of Galilee. Special request for your MC side C. Come on down. Office. We wanna know MC side C.
Here we buy some old English red, and we taught it up for the girls to check. It's my night out at the old palace, and a girl wants a ride on a side. Things to come. The children running ragged and breaking the glass, smashing
straight and roll in your leg. The man's gonna get you down in Bishop's Head. I ain't a number 10, I'm number 23 big. I'm your guy for the rights on CFC.
With a video directed by Jim Jarmusch, that was Sight CMC. And it was while walking around Times Square that I bumped into Joe Strummer and invited him down to the studio to just basically say hi. It wasn't long before Joe had built a bunker under the piano and ended up co-writing several songs as well as co-producing the album. It's not that he wanted to take over, he just couldn't help himself.
Took my grandma dancing to the
sentiment as powerful now as it was when it was written, and for my money, a classic Strummer & Jones composition. That was Beyond the Pale. I've got to say, we were on a creative roll in NYC, fuelled by Joe's energy. Indeed, I remember many a late night with Groucho and Sam Sever, who'd been brought in to add some New York flavour, almost dying at the mixing desk from lack of sleep. This is Hollywood Boulevard. Whilst Big Audio Dynamite were recording in New York City, word soon spread around that Strummer & Jones were in town. And on any given night, the likes of Iggy Pop, Matt Dillon, Lawrence Fishburne, Jim Jarmusch, Anthony and Flea from the Chili Peppers, and the legendary rock photographer Bob Gruen would stop by. I remember the confused look on Matt and Lawrence's face as Strummer talked them into recording a phone skit he'd written for the track Dial a Hitman.
She's bugging me again. Run to use the phone. Find and rent a hitman from the Twilight Zone. It was good in the beginning, but wild's become a drag. Found me a solution in Adventure Mag. Five C's has down
to
help you? May I help you?
Yes, is the operator?
Yes.
Give me Lafayette 06, person to person with Mr. Carson King. That's King with a K.
Oh, I got it. Have a good evening and thank you. One moment.
Wrong number.
Carson King, please. Wrong distance calling.
Is this Mr. King? Is this Mr. Carson King?
Hey, who's this?
You dirty little shitty. I paid you 5 C's of my hard earned cash. Now look what you did.
Who is this?
I paid you to bump off my wife, and then
look, man, I gotta check the file.
Check the file.
Yeah, target address.
4275 South Brooklyn Avenue, apartment 42C.
4275. Okay, okay. I got it. Alright, let's see what we have. Target was attractive Caucasian woman, early 30s. Name, Martha Lee.
Yeah, but you got the wrong girl.
Wait a minute. Payment was made. Easy pay credit plan with monthly installments.
Yeah. Never mind all that. Look.
And we
fuck
have,
your mother.
We have a completion report on the file. Target was hit 7:15 p.m. 4275 South Brooklyn. Apartment 42B.
Not B, you fool. It was C.
Guy next door, then the monkey jumped down and they shove his wife out the window. How is that supposed to make me feel? Hey, look it, man, it's just
42
B on the report. It's not our fault.
It's not your fault. Well, I ain't paying, huh? So go ahead and sue me.
You're not gonna pay, huh?
I'm not paying.
Okay, 42 C?
42 C, yeah, that's it. You got it.
Yeah, well, we'll be calling.
Hey, wait a minute, operator. Hey, come on now, operator.
On reflection, recording in New York might seem foolhardy. Hell, we knew it was financially stupid even back then. But it weren't about that. In those days, New York was firing and definitely made a mark on the band and the album. I mean, by now I'm sampling from films like The Cotton Club, Batman and Scarface, for Christ's sake. And we'd return to that city sometime later to do 11 nights back-to-back at the Irving Plaza. At one of those shows, I looked around to see David Bowie, the Beastie Boys, Pete Frampton, Dave Stewart, Jimmy Cliff and Mick Jagger, who'd apparently come to see what all the fuss was about. In part two tomorrow, the continued rise and inevitable fall of Big Audio Dynamite. Until then, this is Limbo the Law.
Think they got